Fellow advisors, our most in-demand event is back. How to Charge Live is happening October 20th and 21st right here in my office in Franklin, Tennessee. Seats are limited and will sell out fast. Visit howtochargelive.com to reserve your seat today. My goal with this event is for you to leave changed, to see your business different forever. One advisor came to this event and signed a $2,000 a month planning client within a week. Another landed two new clients and doubled their financial planning revenue in just 30 days. I hope you can make this event. I'll be there with you live for the full 2 days. Visit howtochargelive.com to reserve your seat today. I'll see you there. Welcome to this episode. Today, we're going to hang out with a good friend of mine, David Adams. David is one of the top Raymond James financial advisors in the country, and he's been a friend of mine for over 15 years. Today, we're going to talk about how do you handle life and also run a business. All of us have some story where we've been kicked in the teeth, where we woke up one day, and by that afternoon, something has changed in our world. Is it possible to manage a healthy business while dealing with traumatic, stressful events that are going to happen in your life, whether it's with your family, whether it's health issues, divorce? There's so many things we can all go through that could almost consume us and take us fully away from our business. So how can we as business owners manage that well? Let's talk about that with David. David, what's up, brother? Thanks for being here.
Hey, man.
Here.
How are you, Stan? Yeah.
Hey, welcome back to the podcast. I think you might be our first repeat guest, so
I feel honored.
Congrats.
No, I do. Thank you. Seriously. You bet,
the other day, life is happening all the time to us. And I had this thought kind of come over me. And I was like, I think all of us as entrepreneurs and business owners, and for all the advisors listening, like, there's probably been a time in your career and life where something happened that you didn't expect outside of business that just kind of flooded your business. It took your mind away, whether it was like a family thing, you know, a divorce, a child is sick. We've dealt with that even in our company. And with your practice, obviously you're one of the top Raymond James advisors in the country. We've been friends for 15 years. And so I've been able to see one side of like, man, that guy's crushing it. Seems like everything goes his way. And then as your friend, like, no, there's been curveballs along the way. And so today I just want to like unpack together and, you know, for everybody listening, just be honest, like it's okay because life's going to happen, but like, how can you still show up as a business owner?
Just a light little morning conversation.
No, right? Let's go. there might be tears, hopefully some laughter. Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, all of us, I mean, the human experience is to have curveballs and, you know, we make plans and God laughs kind of thing, you know. So I'll say, you know, gosh, there's been numerous for me. One I can think of most recently, you know, kind of during the COVID timeframe, my mom got really sick with Alzheimer's, which if anybody's dealt with that, my heart goes out to you. Horrible disease. And, you know, over the course, she was dealing with that through COVID all the way up in, you know, 2-3 years, went into a home. And then she passed a couple years ago. But so that was obviously very hard. The hardest part of that, too, though, was my dad was her caretaker. And so I'm at the office. COVID's going on, trying to show up for clients and my team. My dad, God love him. I mean, he's going through a lot. He's calling me 5-6 times a day, like, how do I do this? What about this? How does long-term care work? She fell. Who do I? And I'm on, like, doing all these calls with my dad, my sister. I'm calling the nursing homes because they're not taking care of her well. It was a lot mentally. Mm. To your point, Sten, we've all been through stuff like that, whether it's that or not. But to your point, as a leader, it's, you know, it's lonely at the top a lot when you still have to show up. You have to be strong for your team. You can't just... Well, two parts. I was to say you can't just not be okay. Actually, it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
But as leaders, a lot of times we feel like we can't show cracks in the foundation. And that can really put a big toll on your body and your mental health and all that. So that was a tough time. Fortunately for me, though, I really leaned into the team and just shared with them like, hey, this is what I'm going through. This is really hard. And they rallied around me. And that helped a lot versus me trying to be tough all the time and act like, I got this. Just saying, hey, I'm not okay. This is a lot, but I'm here today. I'm present. I've got 4 or 5 hours. Like, what do we need to accomplish? So that's one example. I'll stop there and we can dialogue about that.
How would you have handled that differently? Say, you know, when you were like in your 20s, 30s, like trying to grow your practice, maybe like, hey, I don't want people to know that I'm, you know,
great, great
susceptible
question.
To this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the David in his 20s, and I'm in my 40s now, but the David in his 20s and probably even early 30s would have handled it different, especially from the outside. I would have tried to be perfect, act like everything was great, not show, you know, not open up to any clients. I mean, maybe a couple of friends, but probably not. Just try like, yeah, I'm fine. You know, it's tough, but we're getting through it. And that would have really, really worn me down. I mean, I would have, to a fault, I would have just kept going. Because I've been through other situations, as you know, Stan, in business where I had to do that. And that really takes a toll on you. But, you know, as you build, as you go through kind of your first kick in the teeth, you know, if you will, mine was kind of in my early 30s. That's when my emotional resilience and intelligence really started to build. And I started going to therapy and men's groups and all those things to become the man that I am today. And I'm still growing to where I was able to really handle it a lot better the last few years. There's no way. I mean, I would have tried to handle this 15 years ago, but something would have cracked.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah. I can relate to the, I don't know what it was in me at the season of like, in order to be, I don't know if it's because we're in finance, like people need to be able to look and say, man, that guy always has it together. I trust him with all my stuff. And then even with the team, it's like, man, I can't see weakness. And I think I fought it as long as I could until, you know, life threw me some curveballs that I didn't expect. And it's just like everything got upended to where I almost didn't even have the capacity to fake it anymore because it was just like too much. And for me, I think as I reflect back, I had to give myself permission to let my business stay flat and healthy.
Yes,
where
absolutely.
Me, and I know when I got to meet you, I was like, it's growth all the time. Like, let's go. Like, more, like, build a machine.
If you're not growing, you're dying. I mean, all these things that we tell ourselves, like, you have to keep growing. You have to hit these numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had to realize, like, no, I'm taking my kids to school every day. You know, I want to make them dinner and be home when they get there. Like, all these things where it's like, the rules have now changed. And so I think one element to that that I look back is like, and for everybody listening, it's okay sometimes if you're not in like growth crush it mode. And I think you're probably going to have seasons where you're like, okay, this is a season to maybe prioritize something else. I want to run a healthy business and show up for my team and have good systems. Like, I don't think we have to let that fall apart necessarily. But there was a time where it was like, I'm going to have to be okay with slower or less growth because that's just the healthy thing to do.
And guys like you and I, Stan, because I know the way you are and I've known you for a long time, we tend to think that, you know, if we're just coasting, that, you know, that's coasting. We're being lazy. We're going to lose our edge if there's such a thing. And that's a lie that we tell ourselves. It's also what fueled us in our 20s. And gosh, how old are you now? Are you even 40?
38.
Yeah. I was about to say, in our 30s, you're still in your 30s. You're a baby. I forgot. Those lies we tell ourselves, like if I slow down, then I'm going to lose my momentum. And this is just fear creeping in. And other advisors are going to, well, I don't know, what's the play out that tape? They're going to get all my clients and my clients are going to leave me because I'm not doing enough podcasts. I'm not visible. And the reality is that, as we know now, that is not the case. Mm. And sometimes, like I was in a men's group, I'm still in it, but about 2 months ago, somebody made the point that sometimes a good strategy is just holding the line to your point. Sometimes like that's not weakness. That's just saying that's actually this season I'm going to hold the line, and hold the line maybe in our business means tell my team like, hey, let's just service the clients we have really well. Mm-hmm. Can play a little bit of defense. Let's, when they call in, let's get it taken care of, but it's okay. Let's not take on any new clients for 6 months or a year just reevaluate. And that to you and I was so very foreign, and probably even now is hard sometimes, but we're starting to realize, I think I speak for both of us, that that's a very valid strategy, especially as you become more successful, because time and capacity is way more of a limitation than our ability to go out and sell and get a new client.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, I think the focus shifts. But for me, when you said the word edge, I think that was a fear, you know. I remember even playing sports growing up, like I was pretty aggressive and people would be like, hey, you don't have to be that aggressive. And I was like, do you want me to be aggressive or you want me to be like weak? Like you got to pick one. And so as I've gotten older, it's like, you can actually be both. Like sometimes the person that's in the room that's quiet, like they're actually, you know, the most in control. They don't have to be like the loudest one. And so I feel like some of these paradigms kind of like shifted in my mind that I think we still have the edge. I think it's just, I had to redirect it for a while.
That's right.
Because I have a fear, and I see advisors sometimes, like the coasting advisor is the one that got to 100 million and they're like, my personal income is my primary measure of success, and I'm now just going to hang out. And I'm going to take advantage of the fact that clients usually don't take the time and energy to move from their advisor. That even like below average advisors, retention rate's probably 85%, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've probably seen the stats because you've done this podcast for a while. Wouldn't you say like you could be an average kind of lazy advisor and probably it takes clients 5, 6, 7 years before they move, even if you're not doing the things, even if you're just phoning it in. I mean, so you're right. It's easy to become complacent in this business.
Yeah. So I think the edge thing is something I keep in mind. And part of it, and this is, I'm part of a great men's group. Every Wednesday we meet. And it's almost like, I don't think those voices go away.
Uh-huh.
Then what are you doing? You could be doing better. I know back in the day, you know, when we used to be able to win trips and I'd be like, what if I fall out of the top 200, I'm not going to go to Alaska, you know, like, and there's this idea of like, well, I'm going to lose out on incentives and things. And so for me, I think it's got just getting better at managing the head trash and the tapes versus hoping someday those will just go away.
You're right. I think exactly right. They still come up for me, you know, not quite as much as before, but some days things will be going great and I'll be surprised. I'm like, there's that voice again. Where did that come from? And then a couple of weeks ago, I was like, everything was great. And I was like, felt like, ugh, like what's going on with their pipeline? Maybe I need to be. And I was like, hold on, David, where's that coming from? So I can manage it better. And I can kind of talk myself through it, kind of therapy myself through it. Yeah. Just because I know it's such a damaging tape that really leads to no good, you know?
I started getting the best results when I started focusing more. Instead of trying to solve multiple problems at once, I started focusing my time, energy, and money on solving my biggest area of resistance first, so that I can move on to the next one. Are you aware of the biggest area of resistance in your practice? I built an assessment to help you identify that area so that you can focus all of your time, energy, and money on solving it as quickly as possible. Visit gobeelite.com to take the assessment now.
So practically, you mentioned like community. So there was a point where you just got around other people, like tried to not isolate yourself, because I think we all know that's not healthy, even though it feels safer at times. What other practical thing you communicated with your team? Do you feel like you ever overshared, or what was that line like?
No, I think that was a line I was very cognizant of. And very, if anything, I undershared. It was hard for me to share to begin with. Then if anything, I undershared. And then as we became closer, I think I shared what I felt like was a healthy amount. I think I felt like I knew where the line of, I mean, like with my mom's situation, I mean, it was really just simple saying, hey guys, this is what she's going through. And they'd see me break out in tears a couple of times. I couldn't hold it in. I was like, this is just really hard. And there were some hugs and stuff. And that didn't feel like oversharing, because it was a human moment and that's where I was at. And it wasn't like, you know, if somebody's going through a divorce or something, which is different, you may share that with somebody, but there could be a line of oversharing if you're talking about, well, this happened and this happened. You have to use that professional judgment. But on something like, hey, I'm going through a divorce and it's really hard and it's hard on the kids and I'm really struggling, that is important. I think that's great to share with your team and to let them know that you're struggling, because people want to rally around. If they respect you as a leader and you've been there for them, they want to help you. They want to step up for the team. And that's their opportunity to step up, not sit there and go, oh my gosh, David or Sten, like, can you believe they're going through this? Like, they're not a good leader. How can we work for this person? If anything, they're more endeared to you, because it's pretty intimidating, as you and I probably know. I mean, the way we're wired, we're the ones that we're so used to being like growth oriented. We were probably in our 20s intimidating to some other advisors, because we were like, we got to do, I made 100 calls today. I did this. And they're kind of like, whoa. And if anything, I think that's kind of off-putting to some people, versus it's one thing to be inspiring, but it's one thing to be like, hey, you know, I struggle sometimes with this and with relationships, or I struggled. I didn't make all my calls last week. And you know what? I didn't get any coffee meetings last week or get any new meetings, but I'm not a failure. And just like sharing in that versus always having to be like number one. So I could talk on and on about that, because that's something I've felt since I was a little boy, just the way I'm wired. And so now I'm just able to kind of like, you know, listen to the tape and talk myself through the tape, and then have people around me, you, men's group, just other people in the business, people in my outside the business, friends, my dad, I've opened up dialogue. I can talk with them. That is everything, I think, is community and being able to share your authentic self versus trying to just be David or Sten, the top financial advisor, because that's pretty lonely.
That's true. Yeah. And I did think it makes you more relatable. I remember as I heard learn more about you over the years, I was like, that guy feels human now, you know. Obviously, he does things a lot of people don't do, but I've seen people say I'm more approachable now when you're almost like, man, life's just beat me up. And
definitely,
you know, I'm not showing up here trying to solve everybody's problems. Like, to be honest, I'm just happy I got here today. So when you think about, and I had a guy the other day talk about leadership, he said, sometimes as leaders, you can feel like an anchor that other people attach themselves to. And it can feel unfair because if you move, they all move. And it is, it's a responsibility, but also can be lonely. And I know for me, I have to be with other leaders because there's a lot of people that kind of don't get it. Like the pressure of that, you know, making payroll as the leader, you have 10 people with their own stuff that they're bringing to work all the time. So your group, when did you get that? Was that kind of in your mid 30s when you're like, hey, I got to figure this thing out? Is that when you start saying I got to be around other leaders, other people that understand it?
Yeah. So my early 30s was when life kind of kicked me in the teeth a little bit and I was humbled pretty quick and I had to like grow up and I learned to communicate, built my emotional intelligence. A few years later, I'm in my mid 30s and I realized I'd just been kind of beaten up a little bit and I realized like, hey, and I had my men's groups and I started sharing, getting around other business owners and entrepreneurs and started hearing other people like, yeah, this happened to me when I was 25. This happened to me when I was 30. I was like, oh my gosh. First of all, I'm like, I'm not alone. Okay. And that felt really good. Then I was like, what did you do? How did you handle, you know, asking those questions that then allowed me with my team to have more of those human moments and share with them and not have to be overly on all the time. And so I think I just became more approachable, more, you know, connected with my team. And then that allowed me to then hire business coaches to then say, hey, I need to evolve from David, the financial advisor, client acquirer, salesperson to a CEO. Because at that point, we're the accidental CEO. It's like, now I've got a business that's growing, but I don't know how to be a leader.
Mm.
And I'm a flawed human like everybody else, but I'm supposed to be this tough leader. How do I get people, retain them, motivate them, but also still be me? So coaching, that then got me through, you know, my first couple of good hires. And then I, you know, joined all these types of groups and started having conversations like this and finding other advisors that have been through it. And now, and as you know, we're always learning, but now I feel like I've got a really good team of 13 people. We're pretty close. We have good culture. It feels really, really healthy. And I'm very protective of that because I know what it's like to not have that. And so now I'm so, not only am I grateful, I'm protective. So when I do interview somebody or, you know, I'm always looking under the lens of, gosh, it can stand, let's say I'm interviewing you, which you'd be interviewing me these days. But if I was interviewing you, I'd be like, you know, okay, Sten's good looking. He's got that it factor. He's, you know, he can sell, he can get clients, he's smart. But really, I would look past that and first say, do I feel like I can relate to him? Is he humble? Will he fit in with my team? Will he run somebody else off? Will he shut down anybody on my team because he's going to be too much? That's the first thing I'm looking at. It's like, will this person be a good part of the family? Not, is he a CFA or a CFP or blah, blah. That's just important. But it's kind of, to me now, it's down here. I don't know if you agree with that or how you look at that. But I feel like credentials were everything before and how many calls and how many clients you could close. But I feel like it's more about your personality now.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, what came to my mind as you were talking through that was the, for us, part of our story is that skill set was kind of forced upon us. I would say we were competitive, resilient, you know, but I know for both of us, there were times where we're just like, I'm just thinking about today. Like it is literally like a day by day existence.
Yep.
That for people listening, like maybe there's a chance you haven't been hit with that thing yet. But I still want to encourage, like, I think the skill set that has now made me a much better advisor and business owner is this stuff. It's humility, not in the fact of like, hey, I get recognition and I say, hey, no, it's okay. You know, it's like this deeper, calm confidence that I'm not better than anybody else. I'm going to bring what I got. I'm not above anybody else. But part of me at times, I'm like, man, I wish I could have learned that stuff before I had to. Like, you know, was that stubbornness? Was it? You know, because some of those things that maybe stopped me from being open to those lessons earlier were kind of what helped me in business.
I don't think we could have learned it earlier. I think because you and I both I think we shut it down and we kept jumping over it. And, you know, and finally, like, life came and said, all right, Sten, knocked you right in the teeth. Like, you're a big guy. I'm going to knock you down. Listen. And yeah. I think that's the way it had to happen. I've reflected on that a lot. I'm like, man, why did this person, you know, a situation for me? I'm like, why did this happen, you know, 15 years ago? But I'm like, but that made me who I am today.
Yeah.
And I think those people that are listening, that if you haven't had, you know, kind of been knocked down by life yet, good, I'm glad. And also, not to scare you, you will be, and you will. And if you're, all you need to do is have these kind of conversations so that you know that you can get through it, and you will get through it if you have the right attitude, and you will be stronger. And here's two men right here that can say, we are stronger because of the couple of things that, you know, the examples of things we went through and the life events we went through that were massive at the time. And we did not, there were days we didn't think we could get up and we could keep going, but we had to, but we would not be who we are today. And you're right, Sten. I think when we meet with clients now, we don't have to tell them about those stories. And like, we don't wear it like a badge of honor and use it to sell. Mm-hmm. We can be quiet and we can just be that, you know, quiet confidence in the room, hold space better, be more empathetic, listen to people, and at the right time say, you know, I went through something similar and here's what I learned.
Yeah.
And that then connects you to the client more than any chart or graph would ever do. And the only reason we're able to do that is because we actually went through that.
Yeah.
Otherwise we'd give false, like, we'd say like, yeah, that must be hard. I know divorce is hard, or, you know, but to actually be able to say, mm-hmm. I'm with you. I know what that's like. That says a lot. And here's what we did. So yeah, I think you're right.
That's well said. So I think about my story too. Like, my business would not have survived probably if I was working alone. I had to have people in places to carry some additional weight for stretches of time. And I know a lot of our coaching and stuff I talk about, it's like, you cannot reach your full potential alone. What would you say to people listening that are kind of like, you know, that scary place where we were before was like, wait, if I pay somebody to work for me, they're going to make as much as I am. You know, it's like, you're kind of trying to break out of the solo world where you're essentially creating a really rough job for yourself and you're tied to it. Cause I still run into a lot of advisors like that. Like, that's some head trash on growth. What would you say to them?
Yeah. I'd say I'm 22 years in the business. Up until even year 15, I was burnt out. It was me and two other people, 15 years and very successful in the business. And I'd gone through all my hard stuff, and I had a little bit of help, but not near as much as I needed. And I essentially felt like I was doing 80% of it alone. And it was, as somebody now who went backwards for a bit financially, I hired three or four people, paid them really well, brought my income way down. But I knew at that point, I was like, it's either this, or, I mean, I wish I had done that earlier, but you're right. If you're making $200,000 and you need to hire somebody and pay them $110,000, and now you're making 90, and then you've also got the risk that the market could go down, and now you're not, that's really scary to do. But I would argue now, I would tell myself back then to say, hire before you need to hire. Obviously, you've got to, like, making up numbers, but like, if your goal is to make, you got to make $300,000 a year before you can hire somebody, and you're making $200,000 now, hire them now. Mm-hmm. Lower your standard of living, and then you will leapfrog. You'll get a couple good years in the market, your income will go up, then they'll be fully trained because it takes a year or two. Okay. Then you're going to really reap the benefits of that. If you keep playing defense on that, it's really, really hard to get ahead. You really at some point have to say, I'm going to pay it forward, because our business gives us the luxury of, you know, residual income, that if you can take that risk early on, that's the ticket. And I didn't do that till year 15 or 7 years ago. My whole team, I basically hired 7 years ago, and it was a massive investment, and it has been the best payoff I've ever had in the business. And not because of dollars and my personal income, but because I'm able to be on this podcast today and present with Sten. I'm not sitting there thinking like, oh my gosh, I got to do X, Y, Z. The business is handled, and I'm able to show up and do the things that, you know, my clients need me to do, and do things like this, which are enjoyable to me. So,
Well, for everybody, as we wrap up, I think practically something is coming if it's not here. You know, I think it's one of those things, you're probably coming out of something hard, you know, in something hard, or, you know, something will come that's not fully expected. That makes life interesting. It definitely teaches us a lot of stuff. But as a business owner, I think there's a way to not use as an excuse to just totally abdicate your business and check out. I've seen that before. I think as we talk to our clients, I know business owners that will consult, like if you think, hey, let's plan for everything to go well all the time, that's a bad plan. I'll tell clients when they retire, I'm like, if we were surprised by a market drop, like we have a bad plan. It's not if, it's like, when is this thing going to happen and what's our plan when it happens? But I think for all of us, I think community is huge. I think a team, some kind of support is huge.
Yeah.
And then, you know, mental health, I just, you know, would scream that from the top of the rooftops. It's like, don't become an amazing business owner, go to a bunch of conferences, you know, go to the gym every morning and then like forget the emotional mental side of it, because that was like a weakness of mine, because it didn't feel like the one that people wanted or appreciated the most. But then as soon as that muscle started growing, like it made me a better business owner. It made me a better advisor.
So much better.
So right. What would you say for everybody as we kind of wrap up, kind of your parting advice to everybody? If they were
listen to Sten and listen to all of Sten's podcasts. No. In summary, I'd say, don't do this alone. Like you said, this is like we're meant to be around other people. In this business, particularly if you're a leader and you're running your business, which I imagine you are if you're listening to this, find other people like me and Sten to share, like, hey, this is where I'm struggling in business. How did you get somebody you talk to has been through what you've been through? Ask for help, ask for advice with other leaders. And just be authentic and share your heart. Don't be tough all the time. You can be a strong leader without, you know, and without trying to wear all the pain on your own. It's lonely at the top sometimes, but it's so rewarding to have a team around you and to celebrate victories together. And to, yeah, I wish I had done that 10 years ago.
Yeah. Good word. All right, brother. I appreciate you. I'll see you soon. See you, buddy.